Good morning. We'll call the meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order and ask our secretary to please take the roll.
Representative Gillespie.
Here.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Marshall.
Here. Bill number three, but we're not.
Robert.
Here.
Seaver.
Here.
Torno.
Here.
Van Norman.
Here.
Here. We do have a quorum present. Just a couple of housekeeping items. Well, first we'll move the minutes. Approval of the prior minutes of the meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Hunt. Second by Siebert. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Just a couple of housekeeping items. Appreciate your timeliness and being up here this morning to get the meetings going on time. And our calendar grew monumentally as of yesterday, so we will need to be ready to proceed promptly at 7:45. And I know that some of you will have bills coming up in the Senate side. If you need to leave the committee or you need to be excused before we begin, please let me know so I know where we can find you. I would also urge the members of the committee to attend the Attorney General's briefing on the sex offender issue, since many of those bills will be coming to our committee, and I believe that's Monday, Monday afternoon, so plan to attend that if at all possible. The first bill on the agenda this morning is House Bill 1073, and there is a typo on this one. I think this is actually Representative Henney's bill. And Representative Hennies has asked me to defer that to next Wednesday because of out-of-town testimony. So we will defer House Bill 1073 to next Wednesday. And with that, I think I have the first bill up then this morning, and I will ask Representative Hunt to take the gavel.
The committee will now hear House Bill 1074, Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Joni Cutler, State Representative, District 14, Sioux Falls. House Bill 1074 simply adds the language to be inclusive of the type of protection orders that are found in a different part of the code than the domestic violence protection orders. This legislation came to us a few years ago. Speaker Michaels was the prime sponsor of the bill that put this section in the code. And even last year, as part of the criminal code revision, I know that Judge Tucker and myself looked at adding the other types of protection orders. In South Dakota, there are three types of protection orders that can be granted. One is for domestic violence, which is the reference on line 5 in 2510. To be considered for a protection order of domestic violence, the definition of domestic comes into play, and there are situations where people haven't lived together, don't necessarily meet the specifications of the term domestic and domestic violence. So later on, we added two other types of protection orders that can be granted: stalking protection orders that are found in 2219A, and protection orders that are granted in the case where there has been a physical assault. That's also in 2219A. So that's all this does. It's a technical change to make sure that we include these types of protection orders in describing the kinds of protection orders that we recognize in other jurisdictions. As other states have done exactly what South Dakota has done, they started out with protection orders that were defined as domestic protection orders and have also recognized stalking and physical assault as grounds for issuing an order of protection. That's what the bill does, and I would thank you for your support and stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cutler. Further proponents?
Chairman Hunt, members of the House Judiciary Committee, I'm Diana Miller, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Network Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. And as Representative Cutler explained, I think the bill is very clear, and we have been supportive of all of the changes we've made to the victim-type legislation that the House and the Senate have passed over the years. And I just want to compliment and thank the members of the both bodies, because they've been very, very supportive of us taking a very hard look at what we do and trying to help victims and or protecting the citizens of this state. And you've done a wonderful job. It's always a real nice opportunity to come up to a committee that is friendly, you know, so that I don't have to deal with extremely difficult bills. Not that I do in other committees, but it's always nice to come up to the Judiciary Committee and be received so well up here. So I welcome you, and I would urge your support of this. I think this fits in with the trend that the body, at least the House and the Senate, both bodies have taken when they've taken a look at the criminal code revisions, and they've looked at strengthening and protecting the victim rights. You had an issue the other day with that Representative Turville brought before you, and I think this is equally as important as far as enacting into law. So I would ask for your support. Thank you, Chairman Hunt.
Thank you. Is this a time for a group hug?
Whatever, absolutely. I think the speaker indicated too early.
Sure. Further proponents on House Bill 1074.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Susan Shepik, and I'm the program manager for the Domestic Abuse Program and for the Crime Victims Compensation Program for the Department of Social Services. On behalf of the Department of Social Services, I am here in support of House Bill 1074, and we ask that you support that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents on House Bill 1074? Hearing none, and perhaps before we go to questions, are there any opponents to House Bill 1074? Opponents to House Bill 1074. Seeing none, the committee have any questions of any of the proponents of House Bill 1074? Representative Cutler, do you want to say anything further at this point in time? Okay. Okay. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Michaels.
Thank you for Susan. It is absolutely unbelievable. It's always been unbelievable to me, in whatever relationship, that there would be the type of violence that we're talking about that would rise to this level. And having been introduced to this issue not only in a prosecutorial life, but also one of the first bills that I handled in this as a legislator had to do with tagging out to keep tracking. Right. I'm wondering, are we making a difference with these laws, with the Department of Social Services, with the sensitivity, with the networks and everybody coming together? Are we really having an impact? Are they getting the message, and are you able to quantify that?
Well, I do think people are getting the message. I think offenders are getting the message. I think our laws in South Dakota have been strengthened considerably over the past 10 years. However, our statistics show that the number of domestic violence victims stays pretty constant. With women and children, we receive reports of about anywhere between 9 and 10,000 unduplicated victims per year. And as long as I've been in my position, which is going on 12 years, that number has remained constant. Whether or not we can see those numbers drop in the future, that's our hope. That's what we're working towards. As far as protection orders go, last year UJS issued 4,091 protection orders. Over half of those were issued for stalking protection orders. Now, whether or not stalking is increasing or people are just more aware that there's some protection out there for them. Also, I think it's been advantageous to victims to know that there are no filing fees associated with getting a protection order, and that's been helpful as well. So it's hard to determine whether there's increased violence or whether the awareness for victims has just brought them forward to receive the help that they need.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Are there any further questions of any of the proponents on House Bill 1074? Hearing none, we'll close the committee hearing to the taking of public testimony and move to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1074. Representative Michaels.
Thank you, sir. I move due pass on House Bill 1074.
Representative Michaels moves due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Roberts. Any discussion? Representative Michaels. Any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll. All those in favor of due pass motion on House Bill 1074 will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hennies.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Michaels.
Aye.
Marshall.
Aye.
O'Brien.
Aye.
Roberts.
Aye.
Siebert.
Aye.
Torno.
Aye.
Van Norman. Hunt.
Aye.
Cutler.
Excuse me. Aye.
Due pass motion been approved. Go to the floor accordingly. Any further action on 1074? Hearing none. I will turn the gavel to Madam Chair for 1075.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. We'll proceed in the calendar then to House Bill 1075, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the disposition of confiscated weapons and firearms. And we're open to proponent testimony on House Bill 1075. Good morning, Representative Buckingham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to come in front of judiciary. For someone who's not in the legal field, this is a rare experience. House Bill 1075 was brought to me by Kevin Thom this summer. Representative Mike Buckingham from District 33. The director of DCI asked if I'd be interested in carrying a bill on their behalf that does one simple thing. Right now, confiscated weapons can be traded or they can be destroyed. What DCI would like to do is have the opportunity to sell them, and so that they can capture all of the potential dollars out there and return those to local law enforcement agencies. My concern with their original draft was that it just inserted the word sell, and I was concerned that there be a process that be put into place that declared the property surplus and then made it a public sale so that it's out in the light of day. We didn't have sales occurring between friends. And so I talked to Charlie McGuigan and expressed my concerns, and so we have the version in front of you now. Charlie McGuigan is here. David Conway is here on behalf of South Dakota Shooting Sports and the NRA. And so I'm going to let them discuss the bill in more detail, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Buckingham. Other proponent testimony on House Bill 1075. Just a reminder to witnesses to please make sure you've signed the ledger. Also, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Charlie McGuigan with the Attorney General's Office. And DCI did request on behalf of the South Dakota Forensic Lab that House Bill 1075 be brought. Currently, the lab receives about 250 guns a year, and right now our only option is to keep them or destroy them. Local arresting agencies do have the option of trading in the guns. That option is not available to the lab currently. So at least at the local level, the agencies can trade those guns in. They can get credit for the trade-in and then use that credit to purchase other items. The lab currently doesn't have that option. And so one of the things that DCI requested is that option be given to the lab, and that's what occurs on page 2, where forensic lab is added to the list along with arresting agencies and given the option to use, trade in, or destroy. In addition, since a lot of these guns at the arresting level are being traded in anyway, we thought, well, let's avoid the trade-in credit and repurchase and just go directly with sell. And if we're going to sell, we wanted the provisions dealing with surplus governmental property to include, to kick in, And that means they would either have to be sold at an auction or they would have to be sold after a public notification and an appraisal. And so that's what the last part of the bill does on page 2 is it just refers to the current existing statutes dealing with the disposal of surplus property. And in a nutshell, that is what House Bill 1075 does, and we would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponent testimony for House Bill 1075. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is David Conway. I'm the Legislative Affairs Director for the South Dakota Shooting Sports Association, and we're the National Rifle Association state affiliate. Before I begin, I have a handout here from the National Rifle Association.
Sure, the pages can help hand that out for you.
I come to you in support of this bill for one very important reason, I think. It's kind of a side issue to it, but we'd like to see firearms definitely not destroyed. But also, too, I've been noticing as I read the paper lately, there's a lot of 22 rimfires that are used in commission of crime. And these 22 rimfires have a very positive usage in society. For example, with youth training, 4-H, Boy Scouts, things along that line. I mean, in my other life, I'm also a youth coach. And rather than see these 22s be destroyed, we'd like to see them on the market for sale. We're always looking for 22 rimfires to train these kids on how to shoot properly. There just never seems to be enough of them for the amount of youth that step up to the shooting table, you might say. So rather than destruction, we would like to see them go onto the open market for sale. We might even be able to get a good deal. So that's about all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Conway. Other proponent testimony for House Bill 1075. Is there opponent testimony for House Bill 1075? Seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee. Okay. Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. McQuiggan, could I ask you a question, please? I'm trying to find my statute here, and my lawyer hasn't done her work today. But is there anything in this bill or interpretation of this bill that requires local governments to send those firearms to the lab?
No, it's at the option of the arresting agency. Now, sometimes DCI is the arresting agency. However, usually when we're the arresting agency, it's a drug offense, and firearms seized as part of a drug offense are subject to the drug forfeiture provisions already. Those we can dispose of, and then that money goes into the drug forfeiture fund.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hennies.
But then the local agency who would seize a firearm under whatever condition and lawfully already have the opportunity to deal with that, sell it and so on, without sending it to the lab first. Is that correct?
Right now the local agency can't sell it. What the local agency does is they find a dealer and they can trade it in legally. Okay. And then they get credit, and then they use that credit to purchase whatever they want.
Thank you very much.
Other questions of the committee? Speaker Michaels.
Mr. Conway, please. Sorry, Charlie. First of all, I want to express to you over the years and obviously during the summer, thanks to you and your organization for support of our efforts here in the legislature and keeping the discussion on track.
Thank you.
You have a great deal of credibility with us, and it's earned. The question I have is, if the sale process goes through now through a governmental agency, is that much like a gun show type of sale, then where you have to, the governmental agency would have to do the paperwork unless a dealer buys it? Could you walk me through that process?
Well, I'm sure it would still have to go through a federal firearms licensed dealer because that's the federal law. Now, how that would be implemented or set up, I'm not really sure. You know, I didn't look into that aspect of it. But just based on how guns have to be sold in general, they would have to be registered. They would have to go through the normal paperwork to sell them.
Speaker Michaels.
Thank you. And so, obviously, through the surplus property element, probably it would be a dealer that would be purchasing them.
Well, My guess is if there was a lot of them there, say a large block of them, you would see a lot of dealers that were there. They could take possession of them because they have a permanent FFL. If there wasn't a dealer there, I mean, this is just my opinion, it would the actual transfer would have to come through a dealer with an FFL. Now, what I've seen happen in the past with estate auctions, you'll bid on the gun, you'll buy the gun or guns if need be, but then you can't take possession of them. They would have to go to the FFL dealer who would do the paperwork, and then they would go to you.
I see.
But now I can't speak on behalf of what's happening here because I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's how they would do it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Other questions of the committee? Representative Turno.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a question for, I guess I'm not sure which one of the group, but I guess I'm wondering about the, I like the idea overall, and having dealt with the Sioux Falls Police Department, certainly understand how this can come into play, but I'm wondering about your sale provisions as you set out in the proposed bill here, specifically when you reference 5-23-32, of course, there does not need to be any notice, and it also allows for a private sale. And I guess I'm wondering why we would want to allow for a private sale of these types of things. And as a part of that, too, when you look at 524.9.2, that deals with equipment that's unfit for use and is beyond repair. Why would we want to be selling firearms that are unfit for use and beyond repair?
Representative Turno, those two sections are cited because they're the two sections that exist for state government. The other thing that it allows us to do is it allows us to offer them to another agency, whether it would be a local or state agency. If there's a usable firearm, we can offer them to those agencies for their use as well. And my only response is that's the existing law for surplus property, and that's the process we're familiar with, and that's the process we want to use.
Thank you. Other questions of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions and open to action, further discussion and or action on House Bill 1075. Speaker Michaels.
I move to pass on 1075.
Move to pass by Michaels. Is there a second? Second by Representative Jensen. Remarks, Representative or Speaker Michaels? Anything else of the committee? And we will vote on the do pass motion for House Bill 1075. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Haley?
Aye.
Pennies?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Michaels?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
O'Brien?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Turno?
No.
Van Norman?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye. That bill will go to the floor, House Bill 1075. Thank you. At this point, we have concluded our calendar. Just again, a reminder that we'll appreciate your timeliness in getting the committee hearing started next week as our calendar has picked up, and also urge you to attend that briefing of the Attorney General next week. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Hunt, seconded by Jensen. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you.